My name is Scott McKay, and you're listening to another bonus audio that's part of the How to Talk to Your Son About Women and Sex program. With me today is a name many of you guys are already familiar with. His name is Dr. Robert Glover, and he is, of course, the author of the wildly best-selling book, No More Mr. Nice Guy, that I think gets referred around in every men's Facebook group there is. Anytime a guy's experiencing any kind of problems at work or not being able to handle his boss or stand up to his spouse, it is the one and only go-to book for guys who are dealing with Mr. Nice Guy stuff. So when it came down to the topic of being a parent to your son and raising your son instead of merely trying to be his buddy, which, you know, a lot of guys, if they aren't actually falling into that trap themselves, we've sure seen it at youth sports events and at PTA meetings, haven't we? But Dr. Robert Glover is here to talk about everything related to that topic. And first of all, welcome, Robert.
Scott, thanks for the invitation. Thanks for that introduction.
Yeah, man. You're absolutely the first guy I thought of to talk about this. And you know what I'm going to do? Since you're the world expert on this, I'm not going to lead you on at all. I would like for you to just riff away with anything you have on this idea of moms and dads really trying to befriend their kids and not run afoul of their kids, maybe even earning their favor. I mean, divorce situations come to mind where they're trying to buy off the kid's favor compared to the ex, or even simply putting their kids on pedestals and doing this weird form of child worship. I'm sure you've seen all that and more, so take it away.
I've seen it all. I got my doctorate in marriage and family therapy when I was 29 years old. I'm 67 now, so I've seen a lot of family dynamic, and I have a son who's now 37, and I've raised two stepsons and a couple stepdaughters, so I've seen it both sides, professionally, personally, and I'll start with something that my second wife had. She had a magnet on our refrigerator, and it said simply, love your kids enough to let them hate you. And that is such a powerful mantra because, as you said, you know, so many parents, moms, dads, you know, they want their kids' love. They want their kids' approval. And yeah, that seems to escalate if parents, you know, go through a divorce. And now all of a sudden that they're battling over the kid's favor. Oh, I want them to like me better. I want them to side with me against the other, blah, 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 blah. And so that doesn't mean you have to be a hateful parent, but you have to let your kids be upset with you. I think there's a book I came across a while ago. It said, I hate you, will you take me to the mall? And it's just kind of like, you know, kids go through that. You know, they're going to hate you one minute, and the next minute, you know, they're sucking up to you. Oh, and then I'd always say, all right, what do you want now? Because you can always tell when your kids are buttering you up, or, you know, they're wanting some favor. But here's a thought. I mainly work with men, let's talk about dads. Now, I've been working with nice guys for 30 years, and I'm a recovering nice guy. And one of the things I discovered really early and working on my own stuff, why didn't being a nice guy work? Why didn't it attract women? Why didn't it make my wife treat me better? You know, why didn't it get me those promotions? And I started, you know, looking at that and started noticing a lot of men who were coming to me for therapy, usually couples therapy. They were saying about their wives, I'm a good guy. I treat her better than her ex. I'm raising her kids. It's never enough. She's never happy. She never wants to have sex anymore. So I started seeing these nice guy patterns. And I started 25 years ago, No More Mr. Nice Guy men's group. And at one time I was doing five of them a week. And I started writing and just tried paying attention. What are the common dynamics in these men that identified as being nice guys? And there were many, but one that just really always stood out was a relationship with their father. Many nice guys, when I first started working with nice guys 25 to 30 years ago, often reported not having any connection with their father. Father was distant, absent, addicted, you know, had left the family when the boy was young, or the father was harsh, abusive, critical, angry. And most of the men I worked with reported, just, you know, they not only had no connection with their father, they'd consciously decided to try to be different from their fathers. And then I'll kind of weave two pieces in here. But so one of the things I found, and one of the things I used to tell parents when I was doing family counseling, I said that the two worst things you can do as a parent is either parent just like your parents did, or parent just the opposite of your parents. Because doing it just the opposite usually isn't what your child most needs either. And as there's a phrase in 12-step programs that says the opposite of crazy is still crazy. In fact, I was writing something a few months back, and I thought, you know, I want to quote that, but I want to quote the source. So I actually Googled who said the opposite of crazy is still crazy. And sure enough, Google said, Dr. Robert Glover says the opposite of crazy is still crazy. So I got credit for something that I did not make up.
Which is so crazy in and of itself.
Which is crazy, man. That's crazy. So here's the deal. As the story goes on, when I first started working with nice guys 25, 30 years ago, the most common thing was dad was absent or asshole, one of the two. And so they were trying to not be like their father in the way they lived their life, but especially the way they parented. Now, fast forward, you know, 25 years later, I would say that maybe close to half of the men that I work with now, when they come to me, they're younger, of course, and maybe almost half of them are saying, my dad was a nice guy. And so, you know, all these nice guys I was working with 25 years ago, I'm now seeing their kids. And they said, my dad was a nice guy, and about the only thing he taught me is, don't piss off your mother. I mean, that's the only rule of life he gave me. Don't piss off your mom, because if mom was pissed off, it made dad's life miserable. So dad didn't give me any direction. So doing the opposite of our fathers didn't really work. Now, here's the thing I'll say. No, being your child's friend does not do a favor to your child. Now, with that said, I think one of the things that I coach dads on is to really help your child get what he or she most needs in life. And when I was working with parents years ago in family therapy, I would ask them, what is your goal as a parent? What are you trying to do? And, you know, most parents never even sat down and thought about that. I mean, you know, I guess nowadays if you talk to a family from India, they say, well, you know, Raj has to go to MIT or Stanford and get a very prestigious job in engineering or medicine. So, you know, the helicopter parents maybe have a goal or an intention for their kid. But, you know, the truth is, I believe the best thing you can do for your kid is help them be socially adept. Jordan Peterson really talks a lot about that. He says if you don't help your child be socially adept, they will be ostracized by their peers and they will have a fucking miserable life. So you want your kids to be socially adept. And in my mind, what I would always help parents look at, and what I tried to do with my kids, and I'm still parenting. I've got a 17-year-old stepson and a 15-year-old stepdaughter, and my granddaughter, 16. So my intention is still to help these children grow up to be fully functioning adults. They know how to get their needs met. They have life skills. Used to be, I said, they could balance their checkbook and pump gas. But anymore, I don't guess you have to balance a checkbook or pump gas anymore. But what are the life skills they need to feel competent and feel masterful and to live an independent life and not be dependent on others to take care of them? And what are the skill sets they need to be happy? I think everybody wants to be happy, and probably we all want our kids to be happy. But for example, giving your kids everything they want or trying to be their friend in the long run doesn't make them happy, because they don't learn the life skills that are essential to live a happy life, right? And, you know, things like self-discipline and delaying gratification and asking for what you want and not tolerating bad behavior and having good boundaries. Those are the things we need to live happy lives. And so those are the things that I would work with parents, and keep going back to that one mantra: love your kids enough to let them hate you. Now, my philosophy and what I tried to do with my son growing up and my stepson, my first stepson that was about the same age as my son, like I said, I now have a 17-year-old stepson, is that I disciplined much differently than all the, there's three mothers involved in these four stepkids and one son. And the three mothers, none of the kids liked being disciplined by their mothers, mainly because mother would fly off the handle. You know, there'd either be a bunch of screaming, long lectures, you know, repeating the same thing over and over, or withdrawal. And the mother just isn't even talking to the kid. And, you know, for me, my approach with the kid, doesn't matter if it's boy or girl, is to say, listen, we're not going to do it that way. Here's the consequences of doing it that way. Here's the way we're going to do it. Understand? Okay, you understand the consequences of doing it that other way? Great. If you do it that other way, we're going to have a consequence. We're going to do it this way from here on out. All right? We understand? And then, you know, I might give him a hug and say, right, we're good to go then. And that would be it. You know, 30 seconds of clear structure, the direction that they needed to be going and how they needed to do it differently, and what consequences were going to follow if, indeed, they continued to do it the way they were doing it. And so there was no yelling, no screaming, just clear, firm boundaries. And the kids have always preferred being disciplined by me because they got the message. The message is, if you do it that way, you're going to have problems in life. You do it this way, life's going to work a lot better for you.
And I'm going to guess that you enforced those boundaries. You weren't a whole lot of talk and no action, because that would sound like Mr. Nice Guy to me. I'm just really kind of feeling helpless. I don't know what to do here, so I'm going to make all these threats to try to get my kids in line, even though they pretty much own me.
Yeah, threats don't work. They tune it out.
No, right. And then what happens is, especially if there are no real consequences, they'll run roughshod over you, correct?
They will indeed. And that's why you have to spell out the consequences. And one assignment I used to give to parents when I was doing family therapy, what would happen is, you know, mom and dad, or just mom, depending on the situation, would bring a kid in. And the kid's what's called the identified patient. The kid is not behaving the way mom and dad want them to. They're either not going to school, or not getting good grades, or they're beating up on their sister, or they're never taking showers, or, you know, they're whatever. Whatever they're doing that the parents are frustrated enough that they're taking the kid into therapy. So usually what would happen, that, you know, I'd have them bring the kid in. I'd have everybody in my office listen to mom and dad. Tell me, what's going on? And, you know, they would basically, you know, gang up on the kid. The kid's doing this, kid's doing that, kid's doing this. And I'd listen, and, you know, for about 20, 30 minutes, and then, okay, great, I got a picture. I'd look at the kid, no matter whether it's a 4 or 5 year old kid or 17, 18 year old kid, didn't matter. I'd look at them, and I'd say, you know what? Everything your parents are telling me, you're a normal kid. You're doing the normal stuff that kids your age do. And I'd tell them, my suggestion for you, my assignment to you is keep doing exactly what you've been doing because you're really normal. And I said, tell you what, just sit over here for a little while and eavesdrop, because I'm going to talk to your mom and dad for a little bit. And then while the kid's eavesdropping, and I've already taken the kid off the hook as the identified patient, as the problem, because the kid rarely is the problem. It's usually mom and dad. I would then, in front of the kid, talk with mom and dad. I'd get a feel like, are there issues, unresolved issues going on between mom and dad? Is the kid being triangulated, i.e. either focusing on his or her behavior to not deal with their own issues? Are there power struggles between mom and dad? Is one parent overcompensating and the other undercompensating? Is one protecting the child while the other one is, you know, coming on too strong? And then often I would talk with them about having clarity of direction for the child, having good boundaries, and then always I would have them go home, and the parent's assignment is to write down the desired behaviors of their child, write down the undesirable behaviors that they've been struggling with, and spell out the reward for desirable behaviors, the discipline or the consequences, I like to speak of the undesirable behaviors. Bring it back into me the next week with the kid, and we'd review it. I'd help them refine it, and then they would print it, share it with the kid, and put it on the refrigerator. Because here's the deal. Kids, for most of their youth, are very, the phrase is, they're kind of law and order developmentally. Is like, all right, if it's the rule, it has to be followed, right? Doesn't matter if the rule's just was pulled out of mom and dad's ass. You know, if it's a rule, if it's printed, if it's on the refrigerator, well, it is the rule. So I tell the parents, you're not going to be able to successfully discipline your kids if you're just making the rules up as you go, or you're just reacting to whatever they do that gets on your nerves in that particular minute. So the rules are spelled out. Every day they do this, and then they get their privileges if they do it. every day if they don't, if they do the other undesirable things or don't do the things you're supposed to, here's the consequences. All really cleared out, you're clearly spelled out, and usually only inflicted for a short amount of time, a day at the most, unless it's really grievous. The kid knows it, and now both parents know it, and both parents have to be consistent in holding the kid's feet to the fire. I mean, if the rule is, you know, they make their bed every day. Well, bed isn't made, they don't nag, they don't scold, they just lose the consequence. They have the consequence. They usually lose a privilege for not having their bed made. They get it back tomorrow. They make their bed. Maybe it's washing dishes, all right, without being told or scolded or harassed. They go into the kitchen after dinner and start washing dishes. If the dishes don't get washed, here's the consequence. Or if one of them's been, you know, picking on his little sister, or, you know, watching TV shows or not, but whatever it is. If they do it, the parent comes in, sees it, all right, here's the consequence. No fighting, no yelling, no screaming, here's your consequence. And then the kid wants to, of course, talk them out of it, defend themselves. Just you turn and walk away. You turn and walk. But it's got to be spelled out clearly, and it's got to have clear direction to it. And the thing I would tell parents, the older the child gets, the fewer rules they need on that list. And by the time they're 18, the rules for my kids at 18 was phone us and tell us where you are. Tell us where you're going. Let us know where you are if that changes. And do not get in a car if anyone's been drinking. And I guess the one other one was wear a condom. That was about the only rules we had for them by the time they got to be 18. Now, when they were 5, they need a bunch of rules because they're all over the map and they need more direction. As they get older, they should be able to regulate themselves more effectively than a 5-year-old can. So they don't need so many rules. So that's the basic framework that I work with. And yes, being the overbearing or hostile parent or the screaming, the yelling, the threatening parent doesn't work. And being the nice guy or nice girl parent of trying to talk your kid into it, trying to over-talk it. Oh, that's the thing that drives me crazy, is the parents over-explaining the thing that they're trying to get the child to do. Like, you know, get back into their car seat, you know, or whatever it may be. And so it just you just need just that nice, firm, maybe Teddy Roosevelt approach of speak softly and carry a big stick. And, you know, they learn to recognize the big stick so you can speak softly. You don't have to yell, coerce, withdraw, punish. You just clearly set the tone, lead, and let them follow. And I think that's how you create kids that grow up to be fully functioning, happy adults.
You know, it seems like it's all about boundaries and consistency. And to Mr. Nice Guy, both of those things sound scary, or I might not get approval if I'm that assertive. But that's the difference between Mr. Nice Guy and a good, solid parent with good character who's instilling that into their kids, right?
Yeah, you don't want your kids' approval. Now, you know, you're going to have your kids' respect if you lead them well. And they're going to like you, actually. My kids like me. I mean, my son's in regular contact with me. He's 37 years old. He likes me. My 17-year-old stepson, he speaks Spanish, I speak English. I speak some Spanish, he speaks a little English. So we don't even, you know, we don't talk all that much, but he likes me. But he also respects me. And again, he'd rather me discipline him than his mother, because his mother gives pretty long lectures and his mother likes to fight. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you do right by your kids, they know that. If you're abusing your kids, you know, there may be mind games going on and you may be screwing them up psychologically. But the key word there in what you just said, Robert, was respect. And when your kids respect you, it's because you did right by them. And then there's plenty of time to be friends with your kids when you're both adults living under your own roof. And as my dad liked to say, when you're buying your own toilet paper someday, you know, and then you can kind of have an adult relationship with them. You may still be a mentor or whatever, but there is definitely an evolution there. And I love what you said about there being a lot more rules for a 5-year-old than an 18-year-old. And indeed, those privileges are earned. You know, that freedom is earned. I love it. I love everything that you said. And Dr. Robert Glover, I want to point these guys to your website, which is drglover.com, where they can find out all sorts of things about you, read your blog posts, read lots of content from you, and of course talk to you about coaching if they want to. I've set up a URL, as I usually do, mountaintoppodcast.com/buddy, B-U-D-D-Y. Yeah, because I already have Glover, because you've been on my show twice, my Mountaintop Podcast, and you're welcome to come back on sometime soon, by the way. But I'm also going to take your books on Amazon and link to them from the members area for this program as well. And of course, the granddaddy of all those books being No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover. Robert, thank you so much. This has been pure gold today, man.
Scott, thanks for the invite. This was fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, man. And gentlemen, this has been another bonus audio from How to Talk to Your Son About Women and Sex. My name is Scott McKay in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.